Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, first on YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there after, finally, a dominant win by the Eagles. When we could all exhale, for the first time in literally a year, the Eagles win a game where you know at the end of the day, they were the better team. They won it by multiple scores. There was no doubt late in the game who was going to win it. And in fact, it had shades of 22, pulling the starters off the field. Kenny Pickett late in the game. That was an outstanding effort by the Eagles. The Saquon Barkley revenge game, total dominance on both sides of the football, outclassed a Giants team that actually had made some strides a few weeks ago. But whatever they did, they went backwards because the Eagles put them backwards. What a big win for the Eagles. They get to 4-2. This season has life. And Nick Sirianni's team has a season to play for. Let's get to my favorite parts of the Eagles' victory. I've got five of them. Five favorite parts of the Eagles' dominance over the New York Giants, which really is just incredible at the trend. 18-4, last 22 games over the last decade plus now. The Eagles just beat the Giants like a drum. I said it last week. I knew it last week. I still didn't trust the Eagles to do it, and they showed me I should trust them to beat a bad team and beat them good because they finally did it yesterday. All right. Number one, the most and the best, and my favorite part of the game yesterday, of course, it's Saquon Barkley. I mean, that was the ultimate revenge game. 17 carries for 176 yards. At one point on the 55-yard run, he hit 21.93 miles per hour, the fastest recorded speed of his career and the second fastest in the NFL this season. He outgained the Giants all by himself, 187-119. You couldn't have scripted a better return for Saquon Barkley up to New York. John Mara, he didn't sleep last night. He's probably not going to sleep all week. Saquon Barkley showed the Giants the player they wasted all those years. And look, it wasn't his fault they picked him number two overall. That was their decision. Did it set their franchise back instead of taking Josh Allen? Yeah, of course it did. That wasn't the right draft pick, considering where they were and their trajectory and resources and resource allocation. But Saquon Barkley is a heck of a football player, and you're seeing it on display here. He is having an offensive player of the year type of season. I am curious to see as the weeks go on if his MVP odds become, you know, shorter and shorter. When I looked early today, I believe it was about 60-1 or 80-1. I'm going to look right now. I think it was 60-1 for Derrick Henry, 80-1 for Saquon heading into play on Monday Night Football. I believe that was the case for the Eagles running back. But if he continues to play like this and the Eagles win and we're not having a totally dominant statistical season for the favorite, like Patrick Mahomes is the favorite right now for the NFL MVP. He's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns. He's plus 370. Lamar at 5-1 is second. Allen 5-1 is third. And there's Goff at plus 650. And then Stroud at plus 950. I mean, he threw for 86 yards yesterday. So I don't buy that. So Derrick Henry is the shortest non-quarterback at 60-1, and then you have Saquon at 80-1 for the NFL MVP. I would say right now, you know, Lamar, Allen, Goff are the favorites. We'll see what Baker does tonight. Burrow has great statistics, but he's got to get rock some more wins up. After that, I mean, yeah, if you want to go bet on Caleb Williams and Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith, you'd be my guest. I'm not going to do that. I actually do think Derrick Henry and or Saquon could get into the top five by season's end. That's how good those guys have been in their new respective spots. But Saquon was dominant yesterday, running a guy over by the sideline, you know, outrunning guys, hard running by the end zone. He was everything you could have dreamt of when the Eagles signed him yesterday. And he stuck it to the New York Giants and made them look ridiculous. All right, second favorite thing from yesterday was the pass rush. Eight sacks yesterday. We're talking about now the first time since 2017 and only the second time in the last 20 years the Eagles have held consecutive opponents without an offensive touchdown. And the biggest reason why yesterday was that pass rush. They took advantage of the injury to Andrew Thomas, the Giants left tackle. They had nothing there. And they just dominated all day. It started with Josh Sweat. N'Kobe Dean with a pair of sacks. Bryce Huff got a full sack. Nolan Smith, who I think the last couple weeks has turned a little bit of a corner here and is starting to play some good football. They were all over the place, swarming that quarterback, giving him no time to throw. I think if he had some time to throw, Malik Nabers probably would have made a play or two, but he never had the time to throw. It was a totally dominant effort by a defensive line that early in the year we were wondering, do they have this in them? Is it even possible? Do they have the juice to get after the quarterback? And now, back-to-back weeks with 13 sacks over the last 2 weeks, you start to say, yeah, they do. Now we'll find out, can they do it against better quarterback play, which they'll see significantly better quarterback play moving forward, I would say, for the next 5, 6, 7 weeks. So the quarterbacks coming up next will be Joe Burrow. Now, he'll take some sacks, but obviously Joe Burrow also makes plays. Trevor Lawrence, who's not, I don't think, very good, but he's better than Daniel Jones, and he's better than, what we saw last week with Deshaun Watson, okay? Then they'll face Dak Prescott. Then they'll face Jaden Daniels. Then they'll face Matthew Stafford. And then they'll face Lamar Jackson. So they're going to have their hands full over the next 6 weeks trying to get themselves where they need to be. But what we've seen here is there's something going on. Like Vic Fangio, something's clicked with this pass rush a little bit. Now, playing with a lead certainly helps that. Playing from behind, it's very hard to get a pass rush. Especially with, I just think there's been smaller defensive ends and rushers. The Eagles are built to play from ahead in every way. They're built with their quarterback. They're built with their running back. They're built with their offensive line. They're built with their D-line. They're built with their edge rushers to play from ahead. And they just really weren't doing that a lot last year in the beginning of this year. And then they did against the New York Giants. That was awesome to see. 8 sacks. I mean, every stat yesterday was incredible. 119 total yards allowed, 2.2 yards per play allowed, only 3 of 14 on third down. Great, great, great stuff. And they dominated time of possession. Third favorite thing from yesterday was 0 turnovers. First time in the regular season the Eagles have gone back-to-back weeks not turning the ball over since weeks 13 and 14 of the 2022 Super Bowl season. That's how long it's been. That is how long it's been since the Philadelphia Eagles went back-to-back weeks without a turnover. And I give credit to everyone on that, from mostly Jalen Hurts protecting the football. He's made a conscious effort, you can tell, the last couple weeks to be better at protecting the football, not putting it in harm's way when he's getting sacked. And he's getting sacked too much, but when he's getting sacked, he is protecting the ball. He is not being careless with the football. Saquon protecting it. Kenny Gainwell protecting it. The receivers protecting it. Special teams protecting it. If the Eagles protect the football, they'll beat bad teams. It's that simple. Now, they're still not taking it away on defense, so it's not like they're dominating the turnover battle. But they're protecting the football. That is so huge. It was the reason they almost lost the Packers game. It was the reason they almost lost the Saints game. It was the reason they lost the Falcons game. Those first 3 weeks were marred by turnovers. Turnover, turnover, turnover was the theme of those weeks. And Jalen Hurts was, most turnover-worthy plays in the NFL the last couple of weeks. He has done such a better job at that and given this football team a chance to have these possessions. With these players, when you combine this O-line, these weapons, what Hurts does well, Hurts' his legs, Sirianni's aggressiveness on fourth down, which yesterday did yield 3 for 3 and led to touchdowns every time, and a good kicker at Jake Elliott. If the Eagles just don't turn the football over, they should close their eyes and have 20-something points per game. Just close their eyes. Like by accident, they're going to score in the low 20s. On the good days, they'll score around 30. On a tough day, they should have 20 points. That's how good the players are on the offensive side. Just matriculate your way down the field. Make a big play here or there. Keep giving the ball to the star players. Eventually, the dam will break, and they'll make a big play. And what was killing them early was the turnovers. It wasn't like they weren't moving the football. Their yards per play was at bottom of the league. Like some teams that just can't move the football, like the Giants yesterday, the problem was they were giving the football away. And yesterday and last week, they remedied that. Big, big, big deal for the Philadelphia Eagles and their offense. No turnovers. My fourth favorite thing from yesterday's game were the young corners. I may be in the minority in this. I don't think the Giants' receiving trio is below average. I actually think it's average or above with Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton. You could do worse than having those three guys as your three pass catchers, especially with a number one-ish. It's becoming that already in Malik Nabers. And I know yesterday was probably more about the pass rush, but the more I watched and went back and watched, I thought it was a heck of a job by the corners, by the Eagles yesterday. Early in the game, there were some contested plays, and they made them. Pass breakups by Darius Slay. Physicalness by the corners. I thought Quinyon Mitchell did an outstanding job. Almost had it pick up the left sideline against Malik Nabers. I thought their corners really brought it yesterday. And, you know, we thought heading into the season it was their deepest group. We thought it was as deep of a group of corners as we've seen the Eagles have in a very long time, and you're seeing it now. You know, Slay was hobbling a little bit yesterday in and out, but Quinyon Mitchell's been a rock for this team. Two starts. Is it a coincidence that the minute Cooper DeJean got back, this defense got good? I don't know. I mean, you could say it is, but I think that was a massive upgrade going from Avante Maddox to Cooper DeJean. As soon as he got on the field, the Eagles had a lot of touchdowns. They had a single touchdown with Cooper DeJean starting on this defense. And before that, they were giving up touchdowns left and right. So you have two outstanding young corners. I love seeing Sidney Brown back on the field by the end of that game yesterday. I think by season's end, he's going to take Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's starting role. Yesterday, I brought this up on the pregame show. Elliott disagreed and doesn't think they'll bench the money. We'll see. I think by the end of the year, their best grouping in the secondary will include Sidney Brown and less of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I love what I saw in the secondary yesterday. They brought it in a major way, and they shut down what I think is an average or an above average, you know, starting wide receiver group for the New York Giants led by Malik Nabers. And my fifth and final favorite part of the Eagles' dominant win over the Giants was that the Eagles had Nick Sirianni's back. Look, I was very critical of Sirianni last week, and I've been critical of him for a while now. I crushed him last week. Many of us did. I thought he deserved it. But I kept saying last week, don't tell me you're behind your coach. Show me you're behind your coach. Well, they showed me yesterday they're behind their coach. So I will back off on Sirianni. I will give Sirianni his grace right now because the team, his job isn't to get me to respond. His job is to get the team to respond. I mean, I guess his job is to get me to respond in some way. I'm a talk show host. He's the head coach of the football team. So I have to respond to something that he does. That's kind of my job. But that's not his job. His job is to get his football team to respond. And they did. They did it in a major way. After the game, Jalen Hurts says he knows that I have his back. And Saquon Barkley and him on the sideline together. And the way the players played for him. I thought it was eye-opening. I thought they rallied behind their head coach. And although the first quarter starts still are not good, that I think we could probably scheme up to or attribute to coaching issues and X's and O's more than that they're flat or they're not prepared to play the game. I think that is probably now as we go through it, a fairer assessment of the whole thing. And look, I don't love Sirianni. I don't think he brings much X's and O's wise, but I do think the team response to him. They saw his backwards against the wall, and they didn't just play good. They played great yesterday. That's a testament to he saw his locker room. Now, is that going to be enough to beat the Bengals? Is it going to be enough to, you know, beat the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders and the Los Angeles Rams and the Baltimore Ravens? I don't know what Sirianni being a rah-rah guy and the players liking him translates to into how many wins they're going to get this year. But I do like that they had his back yesterday. And they responded as well to his aggressive coaching. 3 fourth downs yesterday they went for, including the one with about 3-4 minutes left in the first half. It's a 7-0 game. It's a 4th-and-3 on the Giants 41. So it's a very long field goal. It's kind of no man's land. I thought that was a ghost situation. I liked that call by Sirianni. But you know, wasn't sure what he was going to do. And I like that he didn't let the failures of earlier this season cloud his judgment on what he should do here. And he didn't turtle up. He went for it and they rewarded him. That was major. That was a big, big deal that he didn't get gun shy. He didn't go away from what he does best. He did it. He pushed the pedal to the metal. His team had his back. He was a little more reserved afterwards. I like that. And now the Eagles could breathe a little bit, 4-2, 6 games into the season, 11 to go. As they get ready for a trip to Cincinnati, they could breathe a little bit. They got the win in the division, 1-0 in the division, which is crucial because Washington won again yesterday, even without Jaden Daniels. We'll see how serious that rib injury is. The way I'm guessing is he's going to be, we'll see for this week against the Bears, but he will be good to go as time goes on for the Commanders. I don't think it's a long-term situation with that rib, but that's a good defense and a physical defense. I wouldn't be surprised they sit him out next week and lose to the Chicago Bears, which opens up the can of worms of can the Eagles, you know, get back to first place if they could beat the Bengals next week. That will be a major, major storyline as we go throughout the week. But they had his back, and that's the most important thing. They had Sirianni's back. So my five favorite parts of the Eagles' blowout win over the Giants: Saquon, the pass rush, zero turnovers, the young corners, and the fact that they had Nick Sirianni's back. Great win. Could feel good this week heading into a big one in Cincinnati. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.